With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back to life, back to reality, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester City were superb and Arsenal are back on the wagon. It's Monday, 4th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete the Hitman Hartlepool.
Happy New Year, one and all. It's
Happy
the football
New Year,
etc.
Good to see you, laddos.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Yes, we've left 2020 behind and all its problems, and now we don't have any of those problems.
Everything's fine.
Everything's normal. We can all go around doing whatever we like.
French kissing.
Yep.
Oh, don't start that again.
Don't start that again.
For crying out loud, Peter Donaldson. I tell you what, lads, there was a lot of action on the weekend.
So much. Too much action.
Yeah.
Wouldn't get it in my head.
What would you rather didn't happen? You said there was too much action.
I'd like the Newcastle United performance struck from the record, please, if that's okay.
Okay. That's every weekend.
That's every weekend, though.
Yes, it is. It is indeed. Jeremy, I'd like to start with Manchester City, the sleeping giant. Are they going to win the league? They were absolutely superb at Stamford Bridge. I know much has been made about Chelsea's shortcomings, or Frank Lampard's shortcomings perhaps, but when Manchester City play like that, oh my goodness.
Yeah, they really were back at their best, weren't they?
Oh, they were.
There's not really much you can do about it. Like when they're on that sort of form. Like obviously in the first half they were brilliant. They scored 3 times and really, really dominant. But for me, the second half was just as impressive. It's like, well, you know, let's not exert ourselves too much, but let's make sure Chelsea don't score by not letting them have the ball at any single point. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, what did you think, though? The more sort of Manchester City get... So is there a correlation, perhaps? Because the more the intensity is raised with Manchester City's performance on the pitch, the more relaxed Pep Guardiola's fashion seems to be getting.
Yeah.
Is he being disrespectful to the Premier League and the nation of Britain with his sartorial choices, Peter?
He's going to be wearing a bin bag soon, isn't he? I'm looking forward to it. But Man City started really slow, I thought, and sort of sucked Chelsea in a little bit. And they thought, oh, we're up for the cup, lads! And then they went, ha-ha, we're not really. We're going to absolutely bum you. Lovely old job.
I mean, you know.
Going to bum them.
Yeah. Well, they did bum them.
They did bum them.
Yeah, and they were up for the cup as well.
They were up for the cup.
I haven't heard that. You never hear that anymore these days, do you? Like when you used to have a caption of a footballer doing a knee slide celebration, and the caption would always say, knee. Easy does it.
Yeah. So maybe you just don't read tabloids anymore. I'm sure those things are still there.
Let's bring them back, Jim.
No, they haven't gone anywhere, sadly, Marcus. They are still ruining society.
Yes.
But Phil Foden obviously gets a lot of praise. But one of the things I really love about him is how good he is when he's not necessarily facing the direction he's playing in. His goal was a great example of that. He's like his spine is 360. Like he can swivel in any direction. He's an incredible player.
Well, I think that someone once described, I think it was Adam Lallana in his heyday, Lallana won't be pleased to hear me saying his heyday, but you know what I mean. He was obviously he's playing for Brighton now, but when he was kind of in the thick of it at Liverpool, and they said he's a wonderful 360 degree footballer. And I think that Foden, who you know you would say has more potential to go on and be a better player than Lallana was, the comparisons of the two end there. It was just a description I remember, and that's it. I think what you're saying there, Jim, is that Phil Foden, he is that 360 degree footballer. He seems to be aware of everything that's going on, and we saw this many times with the number of players that Guardiola has produced or brought through at Barcelona and whatnot. And we had big hopes for Foden. We used to say, well, bloody play him.
Yeah.
But if it goes right for Foden, which every time we see him it seems to be doing, that very patient approach that Guardiola had. And to be fair to Foden, he had to be patient as well. You know, he could have gone off, and it has worked for people, like Sancho being one of them. You know, some people do need to go. But if it does work, he has to take immense credit because he's getting performances out of him every time he plays, you know, which is quite wonderful. I mean, Pep Guardiola, he also said that we played like we did two seasons ago. He was absolutely purring, old Pep.
But with a slightly better defence, you would probably argue, no?
Yeah, well, mate, I mean...
I think two seasons ago, though, was that their... That was a 100-point season, wasn't it?
I mean, he's talking about when they, you know, won the domestic treble and all that kind of stuff, and they were very, very dominant. But they did. They looked absolutely brilliant. But what's going wrong with Chelsea, Peter? What's going wrong there? As Peter Drury on comms said, the lamp in Lampard has gone off. Now the Stamford Bridge is in darkness.
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
Lordy. He's a fine man, Peter Drury.
Okay. Yeah, but why?
We all make mistakes.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
I think fundamentally, this is a project for Chelsea. They don't want to be that club now.
For Frank Lampard.
Well, this is a project for Frank Lampard. It's like an Airfix kit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm just doing me projects.
But it's in reverse. He's kind of dismantling everything. He's dismantling the plane. But I mean, this is supposed to be a long term plan for Chelsea. Abramovich, they kind of made it clear that they didn't want to kind of be hiring and firing managers all of the time, because it seems to be the more popular clubs maintain a relationship with their manager for longer than six months. Yes. But I mean, they've signed a lot of players, and they put like five or six players in one side. That is going to ruffle a few feathers in the squad anyway. And B, Lampard has to accommodate all these people. And to be honest, there's players like Azpilicueta and Conte who just look really slow at the moment.
Kante,
what was that about?
It's sad, isn't it?
Like, when you see Raheem Sterling, I mean, Raheem Sterling is obviously one of the quickest players in the league, so it's not exactly, you know, it's not like Lewis Dunk running away from him. Do you know what I mean? No disrespect to Dunk, of course, scored a lovely goal, but yes, it was strange to see N'Golo getting done like that, but then you defend like that. I mean, it's odd to see any team be so open at the back.
Kante just doesn't look like the player that we fell in love with, does he? Unfortunately, he just looks very, very average. Perhaps it's the system he's playing. He almost looks like a poor man Sissoko at the moment.
Do you think he's finally got tired? Like, maybe all the running, he's kind of like, oh yeah,
this isn't normal.
This is what it feels like. Yeah. Like Wolverine, you know.
Yeah, he went to sleep once and he's not been able to get back to that level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I just don't understand why they've given this project, this long-term project that requires a lot of moving parts, to a manager who had one good season in the Championship.
His dissertation, isn't it?
We just had one season.
Lucas said he's Tim Sherwood with A-levels. Perhaps this is his dissertation and it's going absolutely terribly.
Yeah, so but I think Luke did quickly put that on our Ramble WhatsApp group, didn't he? Just put A-levels.
He did.
I think remind us all.
There's an argument as well that perhaps Chelsea have maybe been too impatient. They wanted Lampard because of his history with the club, but they thought one season at Derby was maybe enough. And like this, I mean, this could set his career back massively, obviously, if he does get fired. And there's talk that they're already looking at lining up replacements. And you know how Chelsea operate when that talk starts to happen.
Give him a box of fags to chew on. Come on.
But it's a shame because there's talk that within the dressing room, sort of, you know, there's, you know, factions and whatnot, and it's all kind of maybe a little bit of an unhappy camp, and probably because, as you've alluded to, so many players coming in for big money as well.
After every match, Frank Lampard seems to be slating his team. They're not working hard enough. They're not playing for me. And so, like, they're not playing for the team. It's just like, That's your job, mate. Oh, how many times the managers come out and have three or four matches where they slate the players for their workload and how much of the front three at the weekend just weren't working.
They weren't working back at all,
which put so much more pressure on the midfield and they got overrun.
And they weren't getting a sniff, were they? Mm. I think perhaps you're right. Perhaps part of that is because they weren't coming back in to help themselves. But I feel like I do have sympathy for Lampard because obviously when City are like that, it's very, very difficult. But it does show you that the gap between them is massive. Yeah. I feel like a lot of these games this season between the so-called top six feel like less of an event than they have in the past. Like Chelsea versus Man City, even last season would have been like, okay, this is going to be a barn burner. This is going to be great. And it was a really, really good game. Mm. Perhaps, I don't know, it's the fatigue of there not being fans and the hype around games not being as big, but it doesn't feel like as much of an event to me. But
well, that's the whole league.
Maybe that's it. But, you know, like, Lampard can't really be criticised for Timo Werner taking a corner and kicking the corner flag instead. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, but I think the comments that Pete sort of brought up there that Lampard said is when he started doing it, I remember just thinking to myself, careful, Frankie, because no player likes that. And he seemed to be doing it quite quickly. Mm. And it seemed to be a little bit unjustified. And now he seems to be doing that quite a lot. I mean, to be fair to Lampard, I mean, if you look at the sides that are above them, they are sides managed by Klopp, Rodgers, Mourinho, Guardiola, Ancelotti. And I will put Rodgers in there, experienced manager.
You will repeatedly put him in there.
Absolutely. He's put himself in there. He's part of the conversation. You can't deny that. Obviously, Dean Smith's Aston Villa in there, but I mean, that's been a surprise and they've been phenomenal this season. You know, one of the most enjoyable sides to watch, you would say, so far in this campaign. So, you know, he is up against some very seasoned operators and winners.
He is, but he is the manager of Chelsea, isn't he?
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is also in there as well. Yeah. But this is the point I'd like to make, though, is that look at Solskjaer. How many times over the last year and a half, and it will continue to go on in their second, you know, with Chelsea, they win. Look at Arsenal now. We'll come on to them in a sec. The feeling has suddenly changed after three games. Mm. If Chelsea lose their next three games, you would say he was in trouble. It depends on how generous Abramovich is feeling. You know, they finished fourth last season. They're still in the Champions League. They got the FA Cup final last season. So there's some more positive things. But if he feels like he has lost the dressing room and it's going south, well, Chelsea, we know, like to kind of switch things around.
It's fair to say he spent less money and got better results.
Who's that?
Abramovich.
Yes, maybe. We're spending well over 200 million. But if they win the next three games, which is a big if, of course, then suddenly things look a bit rosy. This season
they're
is
not
particularly
far off, are they?
No. Well, yeah. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because for anyone coming into that job, if let's skip ahead and you know look at an eventuality where Frank Lampard is given the boot and someone else comes in. I mean that squad's amazing. Mm-hmm. It looks balanced as well. Yeah. It's like it's unusual really that it's kind of misfiring in the way it is. Perhaps it's one of those things in this difficult scenario where we've had a truncated season or a pre-season rather, and I think he's repeatedly made the point that Kai Havertz had something like 5 or 6 days of a pre-season with Chelsea, and obviously him and Werner not firing is surprising given the quality and the records of both players. And obviously, as you say, Marcus, it's up to Lampard to get the best out of them, but like you just wonder, like, if he can't get those players to click, is he of the elite level that a team like Chelsea need?
Sure.
Well, yeah. Kai Havertz is getting on now, isn't he? old bones.
I mean, Lampard himself, the comments he's coming out with regards to his position, he's concerned. Mm. You know, he said things like, I don't know what the board is thinking right now about me, in the same way I didn't know what they were thinking when there was talk about offering me a contract extension only a month ago.
He's definitely harking back to better days. Yes. I played here a lot and, you know, I know what the pressure, you know what the pressure is here at Stamford Bridge. So it is like...
Yeah. But it's difficult for him. But it is difficult for him, and one does feel on a sort of human level.
Do you see what he said about the Middlesbrough match? I lifted a trophy at the end. I lost to Middlesbrough 3-0 with Viduka and Yakubu up front. Oh,
is that a dig? Because that sounds like an absolute nightmare to defending it to me.
Strong, powerful footballers like Mark Viduka.
If you've got pace though in your back line, just play a high line against those two, you'll be fine.
If he's not very careful, he might wake up the Leeds social media team having a go. Aussie Yorkshireman.
That's very true. That's very true. Before we move on, I'd just like to say one more thing about the match. It's quite enjoyable to see a goalkeeper pick up a back pass.
Yes, first thing he did.
It's brilliant.
Poor old Zeke Steffen in goal,
Sheriff
USA international.
Steffen's in goal.
It's a bit of a season for that, isn't it? Foul throws, picking up back passes.
And we should mention, actually, Manchester City, with a number of first-team regulars out, and they put in that performance.
Mm. Yeah, they did.
And I know Steffen didn't get a clean sheet, much to his annoyance, I'm sure.
Well, Chelsea won the second half, which is something to build on.
That is something to build on, Jim. You're absolutely right. I'd look at Zach's previous club. He used to play for a team called Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
Nice.
I like
it. It's lovely.
Mm. Can I just offer a little bit of advice to Frank Lampard?
Right. Go on.
If I was in this situation, I would just pretend Mendy is injured, put Kepa back in, there you go, you're not the story anymore. Anything that goes wrong, your fault.
That is a good point. You jumped in there, Jim. I just wanted to say Pittsburgh Riverhounds are owned by Tuffy Schallenberger.
Tuffy Schallenberger. I have a theory that
the
in America...
Hero of the Hudson.
If you're an American child, do get in touch. Do you get to like 3 years old and do your parents sit you down and go, right, if you want, you can choose a new name. You can either stick with the name you've got now or you choose a new one.
It's very
from
random.
From now on, I shall be Tuffy Schallenberger. You're absolutely sure about that?
Yeah. Tuffy guy, eh? very enjoyable. Right, let's move on to Arsenal against West Brom.
Big Brom.
Jim Campbell.
Oh, it was
Jim Campbell.
Nice,
it was a 4-0 win for Arsenal.
Shellacking.
And it was against Sam Allardyce. And it was in the snow.
It was brilliant.
What more did you want for a game?
Another goal.
I'd trade it all for a 5-0 win. second goal. I mean, Tierney's goal was great, of course, with his weaker foot as well. That second goal was a thing of beauty.
It was great. It was like watching like one of Wenger's sides.
Well, it was like that Jack Wilshere goal. Remember with the intricate.
I was there for that game. It was beautiful. Yeah. It was such a. Such a relief to see Arsenal play like that and to see them win convincingly as well. Because obviously 3 wins in a row, it tells a very different story from what we were talking about before. I'm still going to be very interested to see what happens to this Arsenal team when they next concede first, because I think that's more of a challenge. Because obviously this West Brom team, they are struggling, and clearly whatever they're doing on the training ground, it hasn't settled yet. I have absolutely no doubt that they're not going to keep losing games like by 4 and 5.
The point it's against Liverpool seems odder by the week.
It really does, yeah. But that's the blueprint, isn't it? And evidently, it's not working for them. I think they just sat off Arsenal too much.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly, despite the cliches about you know, wet, windy, snowy nights north of Watford, Arsenal seemed more comfortable in the conditions. And
indeed.
Third goal, anyone?
Jesus Christ, how many goes you want at it?
It would have been a bloody good finish into the corner. It back where it was.
Was in the own goal. It would have been an own goal, yeah.
Like a training drill. Goal.
I did like that, because obviously the ground staff only had 15 minutes to clear the pitch. They just did the boxes in the centre circle or the lines.
Yes.
And it gave the pitch a sort of Mario Kart feel.
Did
you know what I mean? Where different areas are different kind of textures.
I should say so. I mean, obviously in that third goal, Smith Rowe nearly scored.
Mm.
And he piled it into one of the defenders. So maybe an assist, I don't know. But did you see Mesut Ozil saying on Twitter, team looks good with the number 10 like Emile Smith Rowe, the difference maker.
Yeah, was it actually him though? I think people keep getting tricked by fake Mesut Ozil.
Is that right?
Oh, okay. I haven't checked.
It could well
probably
be.
Probably was him.
Yeah.
Shippy.
Indeed, yeah. One question I have, though, and I'm questioning the Premier League here. Where was the orange ball?
Yeah, I wondered
that. We had a yellow one. I mean, that's all right, isn't it?
I know it
essentially serves the same purpose,
yeah,
but I'm with Marcus
Arsenal
on this.
Kit had a tinge, didn't
what
it? So
Pete...
you didn't want to get, if you've got a VAR decision or a goal line decision, I guess the automatic cameras have to work with contrast and they don't want to be messing about with a ball that's a similar colour to the shirt, maybe.
I see what you mean. What if, though, that people, what if some of the players did lots of wheeze on the pitch and the snow went yellow?
If one of the defenders whips out his wanger and starts pissing in the goal, yes, I think the goal line technology may be confused while the screaming maniac of a player's dragged off the pitch, pissing everywhere. Yeah,
Pete, you sent a WhatsApp. Sent a video to our WhatsApp group. It's about a man being arrested, vertically weeing out of his trousers somehow. Maybe the players could all start doing that to confuse.
We were talking about, we'll get on to why we were talking about the thing later in the show, but we were talking about a man wearing jeans with his willy tucked over the waistband of the jeans.
Yeah.
And a man in London, I think, was getting arrested and he was drunk or on drugs or something. He was having a lovely time.
But he that's was, a lovely time.
But here. he was arms behind his back, manacled. He had the old manacles on, and he was telling everyone that he was going to his family was going to get him.
Yeah,
really.
All the while pissing vertically into his own chest,
seemingly. Unaware of it,
that like, he was
clearly
doing it.
He'd done it before because he was so good at it.
Yeah,
he had a shirt off, so he knew where the piss was going.
Was it the guy? Was it the Australian guy? Get your hands off my penis! Yeah, his latest
get
stunt.
Get your hands off my penis!
Anyway, we're going down a penisy rabbit hole.
Let's get away from people doing things like that.
Well, apparently, Emma Smith Rowe is the reason why Arsenal aren't going to be going in for piss score this summer. this January.
The piss gates are open, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Allardyce.
Let's not forget him.
He said it would kill me to be relegated and lose his record of never having been relegated.
Apart from that time that he was
in the Premier League. Yes. He was also moaning about Brexit. Because the rules have changed and it's foiled three of his potential transfers.
Well, look, if you're that kind of team that are looking to sign bargain basement players,
it is difficult.
Fit outside. Look, players like Timo Pukki wouldn't have got a place in the Premier League, wouldn't have got his work permit.
Would he not have been an international?
Because his national team are outside the 50.
Oh, of course.
And Bromby aren't in a top flight league. Yeah, so it would make it very difficult for players like that to come through.
Yeah, it's early signs. I mean, only
to sign a non international from outside the league.
Really, really difficult.
The top eight is really difficult.
I think there will be networks in place eventually where players can go and play a short period in another league somewhere, but they're yet to be established, aren't they? Because we're a few days into the year. But yeah, it is going to be difficult for them. And I'm really interested in what happens next with West Brom, because part of the reason that Slaven Bilic clashed with the owners was that he wasn't given funds.
Yep.
Presumably, Big Sam will have taken that job with the promise that there'll be funds for him to bring in players that suit the style that he wants to play.
Yeah, but and I agree with you, Jim, but you know what it's like. They're thinking, just come in and we'll sort it out, and he'll go, we'll make sure, and I'll come in. And they're just thinking, if he comes in, we've got a much better chance of staying up, and we'll work it out as we go. And that is, he's one of the favourites to be the next manager sacked already.
I'd be surprised if they pulled a trigger that early. A lot of people are saying that. But also, like, it's funny the narrative around him, because I think it's actually, in a sense, a little bit unfair on him at the moment, because before the game, a lot of people were saying, oh, how are Arsenal going to do against a sort of tough physical team? It's like, you're only saying that because he's their manager. Yeah. Like, no one would have described West Brom like that before, you know, when Bilic was there, because they weren't playing in that style, and they're not really playing in that style now. It's just this perception of Allardyce.
It's going to take a little bit of time, but you would say that in the situation that West Brom are in at the moment, a Big Sam in the dugout will improve them.
Of course he will.
Yeah. I would say, I did mention before, I wonder when he's going to try and sign Andy Carroll. And now Andy Carroll's scoring, Peter.
Hello.
Oi, oi.
Little Benton Teke.
Oh, what a finish. I love that.
It was through a sea of players, but look.
Great goal. I love the way he trotted off as if, just another one to the tally.
I'm annoyed.
Back to the centre circle.
I'm annoyed you don't get a point for that. I think there should be like a set of things. You know how on Untitled Goose Game there's a group of secret like tasks
secret
you can
things.
Unlock.
Yeah, yeah. Still,
the Premier League should have some of those.
Yeah,
Andy Carroll scoring a goal should be point to Newcastle or whatever team he plays for.
He's been so close to scoring some very decent goals since he returned to the Premier League.
He's been so close to scoring some.
I know everyone takes a piss out of us for that, but I enjoy the chaos that a healthy,
of course,
fit Andy Carroll, the one game of the season that you get where he's fit.
There you go.
That you get from Andy Carroll.
Yeah, be that on a football pitch or in a nightclub.
I told you though. I told you they had to close all the nightclubs. That's why we got that good game.
I told you.
Outrageous.
Talking of the chaos factor, I love what both managers said. Brendan Rodgers says, and he comes into the game and he's a threat. They get the goal and then it becomes a war in the last 10 minutes. Come on.
He's almost rubbing his hands with glee at the idea of it. He sounds like us. Sounds like a fan.
Well, Steve Bruce said, Andy certainly brought us to life and we went a bit more direct into him. He's given me food for thought.
I say this with love. Steve Bruce is full of the most amount of shit you have ever... This season, he has ramped his bullshit up something chronic. The man's ill.
By the way, if people think the Premier League is the best league in the world, okay?
Steve Bruce should not be in it.
Newcastle United have got 19 points from...
Lurching.
Newcastle United after,
lurching
after,
over the line.
After 16 games have 19 points, which is 8 points above the relegation zone, and they have not tried to earn any of those points.
They're not. I don't know what they are. Absolute dog pops.
Everyone's the narrative around them now is that they're too reliant on Callum Wilson's goals, which is better from last week.
But now it was like, they don't score any goals.
Jim, now they're reliant on Andy Carroll's goals. That's how it's changed. That's the narrative. Yeah.
When ASM gets back, for his long COVID, everything's going to change. You didn't use him properly when he was fit, so... Dick.
Peter.
I just can't be arsed.
Peter, I've got better news for you, though. Is a brand new Ramble Meets out today.
Oh, hello.
And if that's not exciting enough, we welcome a new face to the Ramble fold as well. Mark Bloody Pugach.
Wow.
Yes, that guy. The guy on the telly. He sits down with the one and only Stuart Pearce. They talk about Pearce's relationship with Clough and Robson and his days, his England days, including Euro 96, of course. And there is the most incredible story of how Brian Clough tapped up Stuart Pearce midway through a game for Coventry City against Forest. It's well worth a listen to that, everybody. So head over to Football Ramble Presents and hit subscribe while you're there. Right, let's have a quick break.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be alright.
Hi, I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
Thanks, Martin. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, Betway 4 to Score update. Let's see how we got on in Betway's 4 to Score this weekend. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game 1, Brighton versus Wolves on Saturday. I picked Ruben Neves. It was, of course, Aaron Connolly. Neves did score a penalty, but it wasn't the first goal of the game. Game 2, West Brom versus Arsenal. Jim, you picked Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Of course, it was Kieran Tierney. Mm. Game 3, Burnley versus Fulham. Luke picked no goal scorer. I mean, in one sense, he was correct, but of course, there was no game, so doesn't count. Mm. And game 4, Newcastle versus Leicester. Jules picked Jamie Vardy. It was, of course, James Maddison. We'll be back with another round of Betway's 4 to Score on the preview show this week. Right, let's hit this button.
Just
Charlie Sammons has been in touch, and he says, the name that haunts me isn't obscure in the slightest, but rather it's odd delivery. So this is obviously talking about footballers' names that haunt you for some slash no reason.
You started this.
I did start this. I was haunted by Johan Bash's name in the night, and that's how this started.
In the night.
I was. So Charlie goes on, my brother and I played FIFA, Road to World Cup 98, until the symbols on our controllers wore off. We also took it in turns to play as England, which meant that old mate waistcoat, Gareth Southgate, was on the pitch for every single game. I don't know if this was common, but our game had a glitch that meant that every time he got the ball or took a throw in or whatever, the commentator would say or shout, Gareth Southgate, with about a 3 second pause in the middle. I hear the wooden glitchy commentary every time I hear the name delivered, which, as you can imagine, is all the fucking time. That would haunt me as well.
Yeah, but at least though, if I understand, it's not the name or the man per se. It's obviously that glitch in the commentary, but it would remind you of Gareth Southgate regularly. Worst things to be reminded of.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember in FIFA 2004. Or whatever, you know, number it was. Well, mm-hmm. It was years, isn't it? So it's 2004. They didn't have Edu's name. They didn't animate Edu properly, mm-hmm. and they didn't have his name. So there would just be a pause, and it would say Gaspar. And it just felt like, I mean, Edu wasn't nobody. That felt like a disrespect on him, on the man's name, or not even his name.
Yeah, true enough.
Road to World Cup was a great title because it was released in Japan under the company Electronic Arts Victor. One of the few titles that did get released out in Japan under that title. Mm. But Victor was JVC and I think Kenwood. They got together and they got together and produced and they had a baby with Electronic Arts and they made Electronic Arts Victor.
Oh, there you are, you see.
Odd.
Well, all makes sense. 5 years.
Almost makes sense. Almost sense.
Jamie Everton's been in touch. Following on from our chat about double headers, Jamie says, I have a little double header story from my Sunday league playing days that always makes me smile when I get reminded of it. Towards the end of the first game slash half, we had our striker sent off for one of those footballers' headbutts where all they do is touch heads. Second half starts and our striker lines up for game two. Then it all kicks off with the managers in discussion about how to play this. The opposition refused to play with our striker playing or against 11 men. We say we should have at least 11 for game two. This carries on for 10 minutes and the referee eventually has enough and calls the game off. The player sent off was also the manager's son, so undoubtedly if anyone else was red carded we probably would have played on with another man or 10 men. We then had to have another doubleheader a few weeks later.
Dearie me.
Annoying.
So I agree that you should have 11 men for the next game.
Yeah, it's a different game.
That's absolutely outrageous. Unless they had the bare 11, which he doesn't specify, and they say, well, he would be banned for this game.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think
that would be the only thing.
Yeah,
I kind of agree. And now on Marcus's side, Marcus's second opinion. Yeah. I agree with.
Yeah, get them all in there. Well, there we are. Well, thank you very much for your emails, every one. Right, gentlemen, back to the Premier League. Spurs beat Leeds and Son scored again. It was Harry Kane with the assist.
Of course it was.
Etc. 100 goals for Son in 253 games for Tottenham Hotspur. Impressivo. Yeah.
Darren Fletcher said he deserves that. Well, yeah, he scored 100 goals.
One of the few stats everyone. Where you're just like, yeah, that sounds about right. Cool.
Well, Son and Kane equal Alan Shearer and Chris Sutton's record, which is 13 goals for assist. Yeah, for goal and assist combos, which dates back to 1995.
Which is amazing. The SAK, the sack.
Yeah.
The ball sack. Because they do use a ball, don't they?
I suppose they do put it into the ball sack as well. Why do we not call a goal a ball sack?
Yeah. The big netty ball sack.
The ball net.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean.
The porous ball sack.
Yeah, because it's a net, not a sack. That's why. That's a simple explanation.
What would you put?
Let some joy into your heart, Speller.
What would you put in an onion? I'm sorry. I had to say that because people would comment.
What would you put your onions in? An onion sack?
No.
Doesn't matter what it's made of, is it? It's still a sack.
They do call the goal the onion bag.
Onion bag, yeah.
Exactly. So why not the ball sack?
Yeah, ball sack.
All right, fine. Ball sack it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, he shoved the ball into the ball sack where it presumably belongs, although goalkeepers might have a problem with that. This was a good Spurs win, wasn't it? This was Leeds United, you know, not defending brilliantly. And it showed their shortcomings a little bit.
With the caveat that their back line is kind of patched up and made up from like people who don't normally play there.
Yes.
They look really disorganised at the back, and that's not what you expect from.
Is it disorganisation, or are they just so sort of committed to playing out from the back in however much pressure they're under?
Yeah,
and also being kind of accepting of some mistakes happening if it's part of how they get the kind of fluidity of the rest of their play together, that if, they are just vulnerable to
if,
this sometimes.
If Leeds don't finish their chances, they frequently find themselves in trouble, I find.
Yeah. They don't seem to care if they lose 1-0 or 5-0, yeah, to their immense credit.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they've been one of the most enjoyable
huge
sides
in the Premier League
this season. Yeah, I mean, they sit 12th, they have 23 points, which is only 3 points behind Chelsea, of course, and Aston Villa or Villa have games in hand. So, you know, you compare them to one or two of the sides around them. Very, very good. Tottenham, though, back in fourth, 29 points. Again, you just the odd win here and there, you suddenly think, oh, they're probably, no, they're back. It's very, very difficult to judge what on earth is going on. Of course, there was some Spurs players who were, you know, going to be in trouble because they breached COVID rules. By the looks of it, that's what's been alleged.
Right.
Certainly, the photographic evidence is quite strong. but Mourinho commenting on Sergio Reguilón's breach. I gave him an amazing gift, a Portuguese piglet, which is amazing. I gave him because I was told he would be spending Christmas on his own. He was not alone, as you can see.
Oh, God. Imagine not alone. Imagine that. Imagine the fear in your heart when Jose Mourinho has given you a gift and you've thrown it back in his face. Don't even go back.
Are we ignoring
don't
the
even
the
go
whole,
back to the training ground.
The piglet.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Like, do you not remember this story?
Yeah, but like, what? Why? What do you mean? Like, do you remember the story?
You sent Luke some beef.
I did send Luke some beef.
That's a similar gift.
But there's no mind games
involved.
Yeah, but
do you eat
Pete,
it? Is it a pet? What's going on?
Oh, no, it was dead.
It's not
he didn't
a pet.
Send him
a...
I thought he was alive.
You remembered this.
I thought he was alive.
You remembered
that. Yeah, I remembered that line.
Jose Mourinho's given everyone pet pigs.
And the weirdest, he was not alone, as you can see.
Did you think he meant he was with the pig?
Is that what he's saying? He wasn't alone because I sent him the pig.
I thought he might have been like, I don't know, just to entertain him over the Christmas period.
Entertaining. A big bloody pig
on
your doorstep.
Got this vaudeville pig to keep you happy.
Well, and you're lonely.
Does he even have a garden?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's got a garden, let's be honest.
Well, you never
he's
know.
Definitely got a garden, hasn't
could,
he?
Could be in a townhouse, Jim, without a garden.
Yeah, well, possibly. I doubt it.
I don't know where he lives. But he's got a Portuguese piglet by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
Which, I tell you what, I bet it tastes delicious.
Imagine if it's alive.
It's not alive.
Why is it not alive?
Yeah, I bet it doesn't taste so good now. I bet it just tastes like fear.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in so much trouble. Imagine you're in Jose Mourinho's good book so much that he's buying you food.
Yeah.
And you get in that situation. Yeah. There's another thing that really made me laugh in the game was when Tango and Ndombele was subbed off. Uh-huh. He went straight into the dressing room and the commentary team said, apparently Mourinho had said if it's cold, players can go straight to the dressing room when they're subbed off if they want. It's like, Tango, that is a trap. that is a test. And you have failed it.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And the test will be about something that's not what it seems like it's about, but it is a test and you have failed that.
Absolutely right.
You will be out of the team for 3 weeks and you will have no explanation as to why.
I mean, I'm sorry, like if the team, you know, after the game, they all come into the dressing room and you're sat there already showered and changed, that's not a good look.
No.
You're going home early, are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness, yeah, you're right.
You use everyone else's shower gel, though.
He is
got the pick of them, and after Christmas, everyone's going to have new Lynx Africas.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's true. He will never play for Spurs again. That's definitely what's going to happen. At the moment, Harry Kane is entering contract negotiations with Tottenham Hotspur. Wants to stay if they're going to be competitive. He wants to win trophies because you think about it.
20 grand basic, please.
Exactly. And with Mourinho there, the way he's got them playing, he might think to himself, yeah
it's an interesting one for Kane, isn't it? Because they've never looked more likely to go and win something. But also, it is like, if he is going to move, now is the perfect age to be doing that somewhere else. So he's really, they've just got to convince him that they can win stuff. But I think they've never been in a better position to do that.
No, I agree. You'd be surprised if he would move, given all those sort of circumstances and sort of pandemic and all that sort of stuff. But of course, as well, you know, if he was to move, you would think that not that it would be a huge consideration of his or his agent, who I can't think of who his agent is. But, you know, if he signs a contract, then if he was to move, Spurs would at least get a fee and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, true.
Blah, 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 blah. Did you see his wife gave birth to a baby boy on New Year's Eve?
Oh.
Which was nice, wasn't it?
What a way to bring in the new year.
Well done, yes. Canes.
Yeah, well done, the Canes. Speaking of footballers with sons...
speaking of football teams with sons.
That's very true.
Yeah, very good.
All boxes tick. Did you see what our dear friend Cristiano Ronaldo was saying last week about his son? He's irritated that his son drinks Coca-Cola.
I mean, who is stock in your house?
Surely he has access to it.
Yeah, well, yeah, he says, sometimes he drinks Coke and eats crisps and it irritates me. He knows that.
He knows it and he still does it.
Isn't his son 10 years old? Sometimes I tell my son to take a dip in cold water to recover after a run on the treadmill. And he says, Dad, it's so cold in there. That's fine. He's only 10. Why is a 10-year-old on a treadmill? And why are you dipping him into icy cold water?
This isn't even the worst bit, is it?
Go on.
Yeah, I mean, he also, because he's playing at the academy at Juventus, and Cristiano Ronaldo said, I won't pressure him to become a footballer, but I would like it. The most important thing is to become the best in his field, whether it's football or medicine.
Just the two.
Just love your son.
Did you see that guy over the weekend? Bean Dad.
No.
It was one of those things where I saw it was trending on Twitter, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
All of the comments were about it rather than what it actually was.
So I had to do some digging.
That's the modern world, Jim.
So this absolute mega cheb on Twitter was he's a dad and he was lambasting his 9-year-old daughter for not knowing how to open a can of beans.
Mm. Right.
Despite never having taught her how to open a can of beans with a can opener. So he spent the next 6 hours with her, forcing her to figure out how to open this can of beans instead of feeding his child.
Yeah.
The worst thing is, the reason why he wouldn't make her any food in the first place was that he was doing a jigsaw. and that's kind of lost in whatever. Everyone's going, oh, this guy's a fucking dirt man. He's just and it's indicative of a wider problem. We are governed by these bean dads who think we should be self-reliant and without having the access to the tools that we have. We're underfunded, underpaid, blah blah blah. And kind of everyone's kind of ignored the fact that he was doing a jigsaw. Fucking kid,
so having a go. She couldn't open a can of beans. He's opened a can of worms.
He has opened a can of worms.
He really has
inadvertently.
Sorry, can we just stay on Cristiano Ronaldo? Because I said a little while ago that I'm frightened of him increasingly, and this just adds to that. Mm. But we're lucky, that comment about, you know, the most important thing is to be the best in his field. We're lucky that he's into football and not like right-wing insurrection. He would be the death, maybe the death of all of us.
I wouldn't like back that comment.
He looks like the sort of image you would see on a right-wing kind of 4chan board, though, isn't it? Like, as the perfect
human. Yeah.
Abs till Tuesday.
Absolutely. He's Messi thousands of abdominal crunches a day, doesn't he? It's mad.
Yeah, but would you not like, would Messi not be like the antidote or something if he was to go on the rampage?
Possibly. Well, maybe that's why you have to have both.
I think so. Well, and this sort of, you know, here we are again. You know, the other week, Messi, of course, broke Pele's record for goals scored for a single club. Although the Santos beards are obviously disputing that. Mm. So when Messi breaks a record, what happens straight after that? Ronaldo's got to break a record as well, and not just any record. He's broken one of Pele's records as well. It's tit for tat. He's broken Pele's record of goals scored for club and country.
Well, there you go.
758. He's now one away from Josef Bisschan's all-time record. Now, there are some disputes with records from goals scored in the past, as we know. But officially, very, very soon, Ronaldo will be the greatest goal scorer for club and country of all time, which is of no surprise at all to anybody.
Incredible achievement.
It really is. And something that happened when Messi did his record, excuse me, of what was it, 644 goals, something like that, is Budweiser sent beers to all the goalkeepers Messi had scored against. So if he'd have scored an accumulative total of, say, 15 goals against a particular goalkeeper, they got sent 15 bottles of Budweiser. How much of a piss take is that?
Was there a little note explaining that?
I hope so.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah. Like Jan Oblak was getting sent them, and he's going, what's all this about? You know, like top guy, like Buffon and so on. It was absolute madness.
I mean, presumably the idea is like, never mind, have a Budweiser to relax, but it does not come across that way, does it?
I don't think so. If we can dip back into the Premier League, I'd love to mention Crystal Palace beating Sheffield United because of that Eze goal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely delightful. Ian Holloway, formerly managed him at QPR, said once upon a time about him, he is a flitty-farty footballer. He is the most wonderful floater I have ever seen. When I think of the word floater, I think of like a little
penny
jobby.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay,
a little jobby sort of bobbing around in the toilet.
Well, fair dues.
But of course, Eze is a glider. Is what the word you want to say.
Sugar glider.
Yeah. He is a sugar glider. It was glorious, that goal, wasn't it?
It was brilliant.
And the finish, he sort of just stabbed it.
But he took it a bit early, didn't he? Yeah. He took it before you would expect. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful finish.
It was a lovely one.
Interesting that, one of the Sheffield United players after the game said, we should have fouled him, really. It's like,
I think it was Ollie Norwood, wasn't it?
Should have tackled him? He said,
if you're making up hypotheticals where you get closer to him, like, surely just tackle him.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, Sheffield United, it is an appalling season they're having at the moment. And Chris Wilder has done amazing things with that football club, as we know. You've got to wonder, you know, are they going to stick or twist? I would think that, you know, this is very different to some other clubs, of course, who find themselves down there. But if they might do a Burnley when they kept Dyche, didn't they?
Yeah,
when
I
they
think
got
they'd
relegated.
Be wise to.
Yeah.
Because he's done such a good job in getting them there in the first place. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, if Burnley had not had faith with Sean Dyche, maybe they wouldn't have come back. Mm. And I think Wilder's, you know, it's comparable. But, it's, you know, last season they were winning games narrowly. This season they've been losing games narrowly. It's always, you tread a fine line, don't you, when you play in a way where you are effectively trying to win every game 1-0,
yeah,
with your style.
Now they're losing every game 1-0.
Exactly. Or, well, it was like that, but it's like it is sliding now, and it is, there's a lack of belief there when they go behind, and it's a tough one to maintain. But I'm surprised it's this bad. I think they've just been really badly affected by the situation, seemingly more than anyone else.
Yeah. Newcastle next Tuesday.
If a game has got 0-0 written all over it. I know Fulham are like a clean sheet at the moment, my goodness. And before we leave the British Isles, gentlemen, we had an Old Firm derby.
Yes.
Old Firm derby. And that was 1-0. And I'll tell you something.
Alan McGregor was having a lovely time.
That man is evergreen, isn't he? What a save he made. There was Ali McCoist on comms, of course, and they were saying, you know, who the commentator asked him a really, really unnecessary question was, you know, who do you rate higher, Andy Gorham or McGregor? And it's kind of like, come on. Yeah. Come on. Both regularly broke sort of Celtic hearts, you know. Mm. But I'd say something. We've spoken about Rangers a little bit now and then throughout the season and just how well Gerrard has them drilled and the amount of clean sheets they've got. And obviously, they've got a great lead at the top of the league because Celtic are going for 10 in a row. But this game, how Celtic came off that pitch without even a point is unbelievable. Yeah. You know, Lennon will be furious about that. I mean, this was the first time since 2011 that Rangers hadn't registered a shot on target.
It's pretty amazing,
isn't that incredible? Because it was an own goal. Mm. I mean, even then when Rangers, they never broke Celtic down. Of course, they scored fairly soon after. It was that sending off that changed everything.
Could it be that just 10 in a row is impossible in Scotland? And it just like, the force of nature that makes that so well, just won't let it happen.
I wouldn't write off Celtic just yet.
Even that far behind?
Well, I mean, they have three games in hand. Right. I know that they're not all givens or gimmies, but I mean, you would expect Celtic to you know, probably win all three. Rangers against Aberdeen next. You've seen Celtic come back. They know what to win, how to win that league. I think, obviously, Rangers will be strong favourites now, but there's still a bit of time.
But they put down they put Rangers' poorer performance second half of the season was last season.
Yes,
after they flew, I think, to Dubai or Qatar or somewhere for warm weather training.
Celtic have just gone.
Rangers stayed. So we'll see how that one pans out.
If you leave the Glasgow area over this period, it's bad for your league prospects. But a handy win for Rangers nonetheless, even though Celtic were the better side. But McGregor in goal, that save against Lee Griffiths, I think it was. My goodness.
Beautiful.
Rolling back the years. Right, gentlemen. Of course, we just recently had New Year's Eve. It was a sort of a dull affair for everybody because of the current situation. Local reports in Brazil suggested that in Neymar's house that it was potentially a little bit more boisterous than perhaps what we all experienced. Local reports had suggested that he was hosting a week-long party for 500 people. and it was then thought to be just 150, with claims that Neymar had banned mobile phones to keep the party secret and soundproofed an annex of the mansion. Neymar, of course, has denied this, and every time he sort of, there was a picture of him, he seemed to be having a COVID test.
A lot of, like, a couple of... Well, it was the day of New Year's Eve, wasn't it? And he was just getting COVID test of a COVID test and posting it all on Instagram, showing the very kind of distanced dinner table he was going to be having dinner at and stuff.
Yeah.
Then it's down to the underground nightclub, which he actually has in his house.
He's got a nightclub in his house. I mean, we've seen the kind of comparable situation from last year, because there was a lot of big news stories about the New Year's Eve bash that Neymar had last year. Right. He just had loads of people around. Obviously, he's got a nightclub in his house.
Yeah. Like, the tabloid said there was a bevy of beauties.
Of course they did, but it's and you want more of that, apparently.
Do I?
and it appears that the the mansion he owns is actually like a block of luxury flats almost.
Right.
Like that's what it looks to be. And I just, you know, a lot of people criticise Neymar for a lot of things about him, but I can't help but look at him and just think, what a fucking life. Like if I was a footballer of that skill, I would live like a twee indie version of that. I'd be like,
yeah.
Pay Bjork whatever you need for New Year's Eve. Just like, yeah, we'll go down to the underground club. Have a brilliant time.
Indeed.
Great.
Yeah, well, we should say as well that his social media manager, Day Crespo, Day is his name, strongly denied any of the nasty rumours surrounding all this.
His house sounds like a level in Hitman, though. It's just it does. It's underground lair, topside,
the final level,
a mansion and stuff. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, will he be back in time for Pochettino's first training session for PSG?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. The way Pochettino likes to play, he's not really managed these types of players before. Very few managers do, of course.
Yeah.
And there is, I think that there's one or two people have reported that apparently Neymar, he basically plays when he wants to, which is most of the time, but he feels he's a bit tired and whatnot. Well, with Pochettino's start of play and the demands sometimes he puts on the players and whatnot, it will be very interesting. But for PSG, though, that's a hell of a signing to get the manager in.
Yeah.
You know, Spurs fans, I think, you know, we're thinking, oh, will he come back one day? Well, he could do still.
He could still.
I think, a lot of people say it's a strange move for Pochettino, but he played there, didn't he?
Which is very in vogue at the moment.
Exactly.
He knows the club, Jim.
Exactly. He knows the club. And also, I think, you know, the stick people beat him with is that he's not won trophies, but, you know, he's going to do that there.
Yeah.
And I know it's slightly...
Yeah, trophy.
Of course he is. It's a little bit of a different circumstance, but it's a habit that you get into. It's a thing.
That's why he took the job.
It.
He's like, no, I haven't won a trophy. Right.
Yeah.
I want to go to PSG. Let's get that done.
Exactly.
Even if it's a League Cup or whatever. It's a lovely old job. Amazing stuff. We look forward to seeing that. Right. The story that happened last week over Christmas. We haven't had a go at this and we need to.
It was the highlight of my whole Christmas.
Peter.
Dog, Bolivia, football match.
The strongest.
The strongest. Two football teams having a match. It was Christmas Eve, wasn't it? Christmas Eve it was.
Yeah, it was
in Bolivia. The strongest versus Nacional de Potosi. A dog, big, fluffy, bloody dog, ran on the pitch with a boot in his mouth, which only makes things better.
That was glorious.
Had one of the footballers' boots in his mouth and just... And they couldn't get rid of him, and he was just rolling around, kind of wanting a belly rub. It was just a joyous bit of Christmas Eve football action.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, I think that we're well aware, ladies and gentlemen, that it happened on Christmas Eve. But my goodness, we just wanted to talk about it.
Oh, man.
It was absolutely delightful.
The team that managed to get the dog off the pitch, they went on to win the match. So look, be nice to dogs, and you will win football matches.
Cachito was the name of the dog.
Oh. The dog was later hit by a car.
Oh.
Yeah, he was actually hit by a car 2 days later. But Raul Castro, who played for the strongest and was the guy that took him off the pitch,
not the
heard about
president
this.
Of Cuba.
No, and then he found out about it and he paid for the fees to treat the dog and has adopted him.
Oh.
So yeah,
do you know what?
Happy ending.
I've been to Bolivia and the dogs there, they are fantastic. You know what it's like when we saw this in Ukraine when we were
a lot of strays
with like stray dogs. They sort of hang out in packs and they're like
brilliant.
They sort of go around like gangs. But they don't rob people. You know, they're like positive gangs.
Yeah.
And,
can't drive scooters, that's why.
That is a big reason.
Where did the scooter gangs go in 2020? That was the thing I was the
You're
most scared
You're bringing them
of.
Back!
I'm bringing them back, baby! No one's stolen my scooter yet. Where are the scooter gangs,
he's
guys?
He's got his scooter. All you need is a gang.
My iPhone.
But the dogs in Bolivia, the amount of times I saw packs of dogs on streets and as cars drive past, they run after the cars and try and bite their tyres.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's mad.
It's super.
I love it. A friend of mine has absolutely nailed the pandemic and has moved to Mexico within it. And apparently
there's
a pack of loud dogs down his road and he overheard his neighbours talking about it. And his neighbour was saying, oh yeah, there's this pack of dogs keeping me up at night. And the woman he was talking to said, well, why do you listen to them?
They don't give me a choice.
Lateral thinking.
My goodness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening to this podcast called The Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on board. On tomorrow's show, Pete, Jim and Andy will be back in your ears. Until then, thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.